The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and this week's comic news. A little bit of news this week. Of course, we do all our books, but our featured book this week is Once and Future by Boom Studios. Really good book. Both John and I read it. We'll get to it later in the podcast. So, hey, let's not waste any time. Let's head on into the store. Hey, John, how we doing this week?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, that was very enthusiastic. That was nice. It's like, hey, we do this little play here every week. I come into your store, but I just want people to know I've been into your store many, many times. Not Arkham Comics and Games, but when you worked at Radio Shack, when you worked in retail, I've been into your store to visit you, and I want everybody to know this is like the legit you. It's like I could come in with my hair on fire with a birthday cake with 20 candles, and I'd be like, hey, John. And you'd be like, hey, Deej, how you doing?
I am not known for being super animated.
No, not at all. No, it's that's just you.
It is the real me. I am not a character.
No. You are a character.
Maybe I am, but this is not a made-up persona.
Yeah, I'd drop by, I'd say hi, and be like, hey. Believe it or not, he is excited to see me, everybody.
I am, yes, I am. I'm excited on the inside.
Yeah, so speaking of excited on the inside, I went to the, what was it?
Are we doing the boys again?
No. Your face. You just gotta let that go.
I can't.
You gotta let that go. You're the only one. The only one.
It makes
one.
Me happy on the inside.
All right. Anyways, I was down in Connecticut over the weekend at, what was that one called? Fantastic Palooza. I don't know. It was a Connecticut Comic Con that I went to.
It's Terrificon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Good for you. You remembered it.
I did.
Yeah.
I keep up with that stuff.
It was pretty big. It was a lot. I mean, I didn't even, Ernie was down there from Friendly Neighborhood, and we never ran into each other at all.
Was he set up as a vendor? Or
no,
he was just
no,
there
he was
the
just
show.
There walking around, and I mean, he was there for the whole day, same day I was there. I was there for a few hours, so that's what makes it fun that, like, me and Pete and I ran into each other.
I saw that on Instagram Twitter or wherever it was.
And
probably both.
I knew he was going to – he told me he was going down there, and I was like, oh, I'm going down. And we just happened to be going the same day. Joe met us there because it's right – you know, it's halfway between his school and our house anyway. So, so that was cool. But a lot of – I mean, it was a pretty good show. It's just fun seeing all the people. Like you say, just happy on the inside. It's like everybody's decked out.
That is where the true culture is. You look at, we've talked about it so many times, you look at Twitter or social media, and everybody seems to be so angry about everything all the time.
Yeah.
But you go to those conventions, and everybody's happy. Everybody's having a good time. And that's really that's the true, you know, culture, and it's not what you see online. By and large, people are not as angry as
makes
them out to be.
It's as much fun seeing the artists and the stars that are there signing. It's as much fun seeing all that and then the artwork, but it's also fun just seeing all the people and just
that's
hanging
what I mean.
Out
everybody's
just stand back,
everybody's
and watch.
Cosplaying, everybody's having a good time, everybody is happy. You know, nobody's fighting about is Star Trek better than Star Wars or anything like that. You know, somebody dressed up in their Star Trek outfit is hugging Chewbacca or whatever. You know, it's
right.
People are a lot more accepting.
Yeah, we're going. Joe and I are going into the Boston one, Fan Expo. I think it is Boston Fan Expo, whatever it is. That's this. We're going Saturday.
I saw that coming up this weekend too.
Yeah, Stephen Amell's supposed to be there, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll have time he's doing a, you know, a Q&A type session. I think it's at 2 o'clock. I don't know if I'll have time for that, but
yeah.
But we went to that one last year, and that was a good time. That one was really big.
Yeah, it's probably bigger than the Connecticut one.
Yeah,
for sure.
But this Connecticut one was pretty big.
Fan Expo travels around the country. You know, they set up in all the major cities.
Yeah,
and they're a pretty big circuit for conventions. So
yeah, yeah. So looking forward to that. We'll be there at some point on Saturday. As Pete said, you know, the backpack, me and the backpack, I'll be there.
Yeah.
So,
well, I say they see you with your shirt in the backpack. You're easy to pick out.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And Joe had his shirt. Actually, it was the three of us because Jen and my wife went with me. So
yeah.
We went down for the drive. Joe met us. So there's three Brightside shirts walking around. And it's like, that's Pete comes up alongside us. I'm like, Pete? So, but yeah, that was fun. That was a good time. What do you got for news?
Just a couple things this week. It's not a lot. The first one is from Hulu. You know, we talked about how they're doing their Ghost Rider and Hellstrom shows. And those shows have now been branded into Adventure into Fear, which is, you know, more of a brand, you know, than just the individual titles. But they're promising other titles to be added to this, so... not sure what that means in the sense of crossovers or shared universes or anything like that, but let's just look forward to seeing what else might come from that. You know, we may get the speculation is we could get a Man-Thing, which would be interesting, again, considering the whole Swamp Thing debacle over there on the DC Universe. Man-Thing is pretty much just Swamp Thing.
Right.
You know, for Marvel, so...
Which one came first?
In this case, I actually think Man-Thing came first.
Yeah.
In most cases, you know, and the Marvel people will yell at me about this, but in most cases, Marvel has copied DC.
Yeah.
You know, with most of these characters, but in this case, it was the other way around. And I think Man-Thing actually came first. If I'm wrong on that...
That's what, you know, I thought I heard, and I thought...
Feel free to correct me, but I think Man-Thing came first.
Yeah.
Not by a lot, though. Like, they were both in the 70s, and...
Yeah.
I think within a few months of each other. But, you know, again, there was, you know, always those in-house wars going on at the time between Marvel and DC, and they were stealing ideas from each other left and right. So
speaking of copying of each other, did you happen to catch the Shazam special?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I haven't.
It's really, really good. I mean, a lot of information. It was just a lot of fun. I think it was like an hour long, if that.
Yeah.
And they touched on that whole, how he was Captain Marvel, and then how Marvel stepped in when they had the opportunity. They jumped on the name Captain Marvel. And
right.
It's pretty cool explanation how they did it, and it's pretty shady, but it's pretty, it's pretty funny too. Like, it was almost like DC was like, it was almost like an in-house fight, and they just let it go. And because they let the patent go, we had touched on it before. You had mentioned it a while
they
back.
Let it lapse,
but,
because they weren't using it.
They didn't think about it. And then all of a sudden Marvel's like, nah. Look what we got.
Well, it's Marvel too. It makes sense, right? I mean, if your company is named Marvel,
right,
and you can get the name Captain Marvel, you know,
right? Yeah, it was. It's
kind of a no brainer.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But that, I mean, that's the thing is Marvel was founded long after like DC.
Well, Timely Comics was around at the same time that DC was starting in the 30s. They didn't start using Marvel till much later, really in the 60s. But as a company, they were known as Timely, and they've been producing, you know, alongside DC from the beginning. But back in those days, DC really, they ruled the roost when it came to superhero characters. And, you know, when Stan Lee came along and started this from Marvel, you know, a lot of those ideas, and not to say he didn't have original ideas, because, you know, I think Stan was a genius, but, you know, there was a lot of copying of DC characters and things like that were going on. So, you know, like I said, there was a lot of that happening and a lot of in-house. I think we touched on it before when we talked about Doom Patrol, but, you know, there's that whole thing between the X-Men and Doom Patrol and, you know,
yeah,
Stan stealing that idea right before Doom Patrol hit the shelves. And you know, like I said, I know that stuff went on back and forth, but you know, again, you get that stuff when artists and writers are, you know, jumping between companies. It's hard to keep those ideas proprietary, you know.
Right.
That stuff just goes back and forth. And you know, if I'm a new writer and I quit or I left DC and went over to Marvel and I had some inside info from DC, of course I'm going to want to like bring that to my new bosses over there at Marvel. I don't know what kind of NDAs were being signed back then, but you know, apparently they weren't very binding because that stuff happened.
Well, we heard that in the art world growing up, it was like, you know, good artists borrow, great artists steal.
Right.
And it's like steal it and make it better.
That's right.
And it was like, you know, if you make it better, nobody's going to, you know, nobody cares. They're just going to be, oh, that one's better. And you're like, you stole my idea. Well, yeah, but I made it better. Right. And, I mean, I wouldn't want it to happen to me, but it's like.
No.
But,
well, and I'm sure the Doom Patrol guys didn't want it to happen to them either.
Exactly.
And, you know, and the X-Men are better. But still, you know, if I'm the DC guys, I'm still not happy about that. So.
Right. What else you got?
Just another, you know, a rumor that I was reading yesterday about Henry Cavill possibly going over to the MCU. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of published conflicts between, you know, Warner Brothers and Henry Cavill and, you know, what's going on over there. So there's talk that he might be snapped up by into the MCU. The thought is maybe like a U.S. agent type of character to go along with the Sam Wilson Captain America. So, you know, again, it's pure rumor, but it's interesting because, you know, I mean, Henry obviously likes playing these roles.
Yeah.
And if DC's not going to give him Superman, I mean, there's nothing stopping him. You know, I mean, he's doing The Witcher over at Netflix, but there's nothing stopping him from going over to the MCU. So I don't know if US Agent is a big enough character for, you know, to get Henry. I think he would probably want to be the, you know, again, he played Superman, so
yeah, but
he doesn't want to go back to playing, you know, a minor character. So I don't know what they've got coming.
What if they pitched it as, we're going to make the character bigger?
Well, they could, but I'm just saying,
again,
you know,
to fall back to Guardians of the Galaxy again, but it's, you know what I mean?
Right, but we could also see something in Phase 5 where, you know, Marvel's still got a lot of major characters that we haven't seen on screen yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, what could they give him? You know, this, like I said, this more of a beefy role that, you know, is something that would be enticing. Because the problem is, once they get him in there, if they put him in a smaller part, then he's not really going to be in line for those bigger parts.
Right.
You know.
No, but I meant taking a small character and turning that small character into a bigger character in the MCU. Like, maybe he's a small character in comic books, but you create a bigger world with this character.
I mean, I don't know how much. I don't know if you know the U.S. Agent character, but I mean, he did actually serve as Captain America for like 2 years in the comics when Steve Rogers wasn't. I don't know what he was. You know,
so
one
that,
of his deaths or
yeah.
something. So, you know, again, right? Maybe he slides into the Captain America role for a while, and who knows? But you know, we don't know how quickly Captain America's coming back. You know,
that could be a whole.
Yeah,
story could, there, like the multiple Captain Americas.
Right. It could be a whole thing. I don't know. Like I said, I just I thought the rumor was interesting. Not so much even that particular character, but just the idea of him going.
It wasn't one of those sketchy websites, was it?
Well, I'm sure it was. You know, that's all I read. You know, it's like the National Enquirer for comics.
Yeah,
but I mean, honestly, that's where most of the news comes from.
Right.
So. And that's really all I had this week. Like I said, there was a few things. I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple of things, but
I got a couple.
Nothing really comes to mind. So
I got a couple. This one's right up the home theater wheelhouse here. Pre-order the Batman 80th Anniversary Edition 18 film animated DCU Blu-ray collection at Amazon. Did you see that?
Yeah. No.
So IGN put this out the other day, and I retweeted it. I figured people would be interested in it. But then you look at it, and you look at the back, and it lists the movies. And this is one of those things that I get into the whole DCU, you know, DC Universe thing. And it's like, so for $73, you can have Batman Gotham Knight, Batman Year One, Batman Under the Red Hood, Batman Bad Blood, Batman vs. Robin, Son of Batman, Batman vs. the Dark Knight Returns Part 1 and 2, Assault on Arkham, The Killing Joke, Batman and Harley Quinn, Gotham by Get. All of these are on DC Universe.
Yeah.
I think the only one that isn't it that I've read so far is The Killing Joke. That's not on DC right. Universe.
No, not yet.
And then, let's see, that's Batman Ninjas on there. Gotham by Gaslight, I said. Return of the Caped Crusaders. Mask of the Phantasm. Mystery of the Batwoman. Is that on there? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I know I've seen it. I don't remember if it's on. Superman, Batman, Public Enemies. Superman, Batman, Apocalypse. So I think all but two of them are on DC Universe.
Right.
It's like, that's your year subscription, right?
I say for the price of that set, you get a whole year of DC Universe.
You know, and like I said in my tweet, I'll probably own this because I like having these collections. I like to own them. But it's, you know, I'm not trying to not sell DVDs, but at the same time, I hear all these people, it's not worth, DC Universe isn't worth it. And but then people go out and buy something like this, and you're like, I'm not saying not to buy it, but you know you can watch these at any time, and they're all right
for
there.
The same price.
And get more content.
And get all the, right, and get everything else.
Right.
You know, that you get on DC Universe.
So.
Yeah, like I said, it's a good deal. It just,
yeah.
I don't know.
So. And yes, we are not paid by DC Universe at all.
No, we are not.
I wish we were.
Well, I say I'd like to be.
Yeah.
DC, call us. Call me.
And and the last piece I had, the last piece of news I have is another Russo Brothers explanation.
Oh, jeez.
So, no. Listen to this.
Are we going to argue again?
I don't think so. So, they this was on an Ask Me Anything session on Reddit. So,
okay.
They were talking about how Captain America returned at the end, and we had all that discussion. I thought their point was it was pretty cool. No, we didn't. I know you and I didn't come up with it, and it's kind of the obvious one. And it's like Cap, how he returned to the existing timeline and was on that bench right there. And it's like they basically said simply like he used the quantum suit. So he lived in an alternate timeline, got old, got the quantum suit out of mothballs, put it back on, and showed up. The thing is, and what they said, it just doesn't mean he didn't have to show up right at that moment. So he could have shown up in the quantum suit at that in the new timeline, or in our timeline, right? And then, you know, walked there, put the quantum suit in the closet, and walked to the bench. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The only here's my hole in that. If he had done that, wouldn't Banner have seen it on the computer that where he landed?
Only if he did it that day when he was looking at it.
Well, that's the thing. We're talking time here. He definitely would have had to have done it that day. Because when he left, remember, before he leaves or any time you do any of these time travel things, they're like, he can be gone as long as he... And Banner said that. As long as he wants, but 5 seconds to us. Right?
Right.
So... he could have done the 5 seconds to us, and then they would have been like, where is he? Well, he's walking up. He just showed up a day early, and now he's just getting here. You know what I mean? So he doesn't come through right there. So he basically did, like, the jump thing, like him and Tony Stark did when they went back to 1970 and did that whole... He basically did that whole thing and then just walked to the bench and did that. But I just think that Banner would have seen it on the computer. He would have known where, because Banner says right after it, he goes, I don't know where he went, he flew right past his marker or whatever, you know. It's like,
yeah,
okay,
I don't know. I'm done getting worked up about all that.
I thought it was an interesting answer, but then at the same time, because it is a simple thing, like he could have used the same suit, he could have come back. But I think it answers, like, he existed on an alternate timeline.
Right.
And then just used the suit to come back to that timeline. So, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Makes sense. Makes more sense than him lingering around in our timeline for 40 years and nobody
with multiple caps, like three caps in 2012, and
yeah, that makes more sense from that perspective.
Yeah. So all right, we ready to get into our comic books this week?
Yeah.
So what am I gonna spend my money on this week?
This is the big book of the week. Once in Future number one. It's by Boom Studios. Again, we'll talk about it a little bit further down in the recommended reading. But this book has had a lot of... It's been being hyped for weeks. This had a lot of eyes on it before today. This actually went to a third printing before the first printing even hit the shelf. Which is crazy to me that it sold out three times. I think by the end of late today, I actually saw a fourth printing announced on it.
Wow.
So that's just crazy. This was selling between $13 and $20 prior to today. I did see several of them still selling today on eBay in the $12 to $13 range. But I mean, again, most stores should have, you know, not to get too much into the retailer side of it, but you know, Boom promoted this to us months ago. You know, and they had a lot of incentives for retailers to buy lots of copies of this. So, like, most stores went pretty deep into this book.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, I mean, I ordered a ton of copies of this. So, it shouldn't be that hard to get today. It will sell out, though, because the problem with it being a $12 to $15 book on eBay is that people will buy them out of the stores at $3.99 and turn around and try to make a quick buck on them. I'm limiting them to one per person in my store. So, I mean, again, if you're going to do it from me, you're going to make $12, and I don't know if it's worth the hassle.
Yeah.
It'd be different if you could come in and I'd let you buy 30 copies. Well, then you could make a pretty good chunk of change. But I mean, if I was going to do that, I'd sell them on eBay myself. You know, so all that being said, like I said, this is the big book of the week. You know, we had some issues at all of the Texas stores had late deliveries.
Yeah, what happened
week
with that?
Books. They had some kind of mechanical issues with UPS.
We
got an email late Monday that our books were not going to arrive Tuesday. They weren't going to come until Wednesday. My books didn't show up till after 2 o'clock my time, and it took me a couple hours to get them on the shelf. So I only had about 3 hours of actually selling time for new books today.
Yeah.
I still sold a ton of copies of this book, even in just those 3 hours.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, I'm offering, you know, once again, I'm not to promote just myself because I think a lot of stores are doing this, but I'm offering a money-back guarantee on it. You know, you buy it, you don't like it, bring it back, I'll give you your money back. And I've never done that with any comic book before. Mostly I'm doing it because I think it's a great book and I think most people will like it, but also... I mean, it's returnable for us, so
right.
I figured I'd pass it on to the readers and let them make their own decisions. So
that's cool.
So just to finish up with this one really quick, there was a one per store variant that I think any store that ordered copies got this. Thank you, but I might be wrong on that. You might have had to order a certain number to get it, but. This thing is selling for about $80 right now, and probably only going to go higher than that. I did sell my copy today as well out of the store. So
cool.
That was pretty cool. So that's it. Once in Future. Like I said, it shouldn't be hard to find. You definitely should be able to walk into a store and get one today or tomorrow. I wouldn't wait super long to get it, though. And I think it's going to... you know, it'll keep some value for a while. And that's it for that. So moving on down, we have Show's End number one from Mad Cave Studios. There's a couple of sales on this in the $10 range. So that might be one to pick up. Not every store might order it. I did order a few copies. I didn't sell any today. So I don't know if that says anything about it. But like I said, I had a pretty limited window of sales on new books today, and a lot of my people didn't make it in, so we'll see what happens with it. But that's that. And then here's the other big – these are the other two big books this week that aren't necessarily speculator books, but a lot of people are looking for them. And this is Supergirl number 33 and Superman number 14. So once again, DC sent a note to all the retailers last week asking them to destroy any copies that they received of these books today because they didn't like the cover art on them. And the books were going to be resolicited in a couple of weeks. And, you know, we'd be able to deliver them to the customers. So this news also leaked out, like it always does, to the public. And, of course, that created a huge demand for these books because we weren't asked to send them back to DC. It's the honor system. We were just asked to destroy them. And, you know, lots of stores are not going to do that. You know, they were immediately listed up on eBay for sale, and they're going for $25 to $40 a piece. And people are calling stores left and right trying to get them. So again, not really spec books because you really shouldn't be able to get them.
But they kind of are.
But they kind of are because they are a rarity.
They have a value
now. They will have a value. So here's the thing. Lots of stores didn't honor DC's wishes, and they sold a bunch of copies on eBay based on the copies that they had coming in. Depending on the warehouse that you're served out of, Diamond was able to get in and pull these books back and not ship them out to every store. So, not every store got the copies they were supposed to get because the warehouse, Diamond had enough forewarning to actually pull them. Pull them before we got them.
Right.
So, that was the case in my warehouse. I didn't actually get these books. So, I'm not going to say what I was going to do or not going to do with them once I got them, but I will say that I did not pre-sell any of them on eBay. And I would hate to be a store that pre-sold a whole bunch of these on eBay and then didn't get them.
Uh-oh.
Because that's a lot of refunds and canceled orders that you have to process through eBay. And eBay doesn't like that. So, you know, I'm not going to say anything about what anybody does to make money. If you can get a hold of these, and I'm not saying you should be able to. But if you can get a hold of them, they're going for money, and they're going to continue to go even higher. Because, again, that created even more of a shortage.
Right.
Because a bunch of stores that thought they were getting them didn't get them. So there's even less of them out there than we thought there was going to be today. So it is a true – they are truly rare, and they are going to be worth money. You should not be able to get them, but if you can, I would definitely try to buy them. Just full disclosure, I was not going to sell mine. I was actually going to destroy them.
Well, that's easy to say now.
Well, no, it is. I mean, honestly, I was going to. Because I have with every other one they've ever done that with. But, you know, there are retailers out there that don't. So, that's it as far as the speculator books go for this week.
All right. What do we got in back issue bonus?
All right, so again, just a couple of books this week. First one is actually a book from last week. It's House of X number 2.
You may have heard of it.
Yeah, you may have heard of it. And if you've read it, you know, again, this was like the game-changing book of the series so far. Now, it's easy to say because there's only been 3 books, but I mean, this did change a lot. Like, this was a big issue. And a lot of people had trouble getting it because, as we talked about before, demand is far outseeding the supply of these books. So there were a lot of people that were turned away from being able to get this. So it is now rising on eBay because as more people are hearing about it, they want to get their hands on it. $13 to $20 is the going price on it. And it probably is going to continue to go up. Excuse me. Keep in mind that second printings are going to be hitting the stand soon. So if you're just a reader, I wouldn't necessarily rush out and pay the $20 to get it if you don't care about whether it's a first printing or second printing. If you're a collector and you want those first printings, This is the only way you're going to be able to get it. I don't know of a store in the area that has them in stock. Yeah. Most stores didn't even have any for their shelves when they opened on Wednesday last week. So you're going to pay for this if you want it. But like I said, if you just want to read the story, wait for that. I would wait for the second printing, and you know, they should be out there to be able to get it. Next on the list is from Marvel also. It's Thor, God of Thunder, issue number 2. There's speculation that the God Butcher character may be showing up in the MCU, and that's put this book back into the limelight. $25 to $35 currently is the going rate for that. I would imagine that would be in the Thor Love and Thunder movie if it was any place, but no telling where that would be. And then last but not least, we have Avengers Unplugged, issue number 5. This is the first appearance of Monica Rambeau as Photon. So Monica Rambeau has been cast for the WandaVision show on Disney Plus, the adult version. Yep. You know, we saw the little girl, Captain Marvel. But grown-up Monica Rambeau is going to appear in WandaVision. She's obviously not going to be able to appear as Captain Marvel because we have a Captain Marvel in the MCU. So Photon is one of the characters that she has been. Don't know if that's who she's going to be in the show, but
probably that was her mother's call sign.
Yeah, just the potential of her being that has started to rise. You know, again, raise the price on this book. You know, again, you know, a week ago, I couldn't even tell you that this book existed. It's probably sitting in dollar boxes all over the place. But now it's like $45. So this is a true hunt. If you can find it, you should be able to get a really great, you know, great deal on it if you can put the work in and find it in some back issues. And, you know, once again, she's definitely going to appear in that show. So this book is going to have some value.
Cool.
And that's it for a back issue bonus.
All right. And let's try to fly through the final order cutoff for this week.
All right. It's not very big, actually, anyways. So from DC, we have variant covers for Catwoman 15. That's the Art Germ variant. Event Leviathan number 4 by Kerry Andrews. Flash 78. Paolo Pantalena, Hawkman 16, In Huck Lee, Supergirl 34 by Derek Chu, and Wonder Woman 78, Jenny Frisson. New series, we have Gotham City Monsters. This is issue number 1 of 6, and there's going to be 2 covers for that. And that's it for DC. Moving on down to IDW, we have 3 new series. First one is Napoleon Dynamite, issue number 1. Obviously based on the movie. There's 2 covers for that. And then 2 new series. One's called Pandemica, and the other one is Starcadia Quest. Pandemica will be a 5-issue miniseries. Starcadia Quest is a 3-issue miniseries. I only saw 1 cover available for each of those. Moving down to Marvel, there's no variant covers really that stand out. There's 3 new series. There's Absolute Carnage, Symbiote of Vengeance, issue number 1. Multiple covers for that. Again, I correct myself because I think it's just a 1-shot. It's not a new series. Crazy, number 1, which is looks like their version of Mad Magazine, or Cracked Magazine. It's along those lines. There's something new for Marvel, so there's multiple covers available for it, though. And then finally, we have King Thor, issue number 1. This is going to be a 4-issue miniseries, and this is the end of the Jason Aaron era on Thor. So, the last Thor series just ended. They're going to have this King Thor for 4 issues, and then we'll see what happens, you know, with a Thor ongoing after that. I'm sure there'll be one with a new creative team. But this one looks pretty cool. And again, being Marvel, there's a bunch of covers for it. And then last but not least, we have from Dynamite Comics, Chastity, issue number 1. And again, being Dynamite, there's like 13 covers for this. So whole bunch of covers to choose from. And that's it for Final Order Cutoff.
All right. That was quick. It looked longer. But, oh well.
Yeah, well, you said fly through it, so I flew through
it. So you flew through it. There you go. All right. Now, let's get into our recommended reading for this week.
Yeah.
Actually, let's put it to the... We've been talking about it during the week. Let's put it to the listeners.
Okay.
Let's rename our recommended reading. And tweet us any ideas you have for our what we can call it recommended reading. Because what John and I are finding is it's not necessarily what we recommend. It's just kind of like what we've read. And we're trying to come up with a creative idea, a creative name for it. Because some of the books we're not exactly recommending. But,
yes,
you know, we're just saying, oh, we read this and that. And, you know, just having a conversation on what we read this week. So,
right.
We had a couple of ideas, but... Hey, let's put it to you guys. Let us know on Twitter what you think.
Sounds good to me. Anything to make my life easier.
Yeah, sorry I asked you a question this week.
I know. I didn't like that.
All right. Let's go with your second one first.
Okay.
Because we both have that first one, which is, oh boy, Once in the Future.
Once in the Future, yeah.
But, yeah, let's do your first one, your second one first.
Okay, so... Second first, we have from Image Comics, White Trees, issue number one. This is issue number one of two. So it's just a little small mini series. But I get the sense that there'll be more of this to come. It seems like this is a world that is being built that they're going to want to tell in more than just a two issue mini series. But in any case, this is written by Chip Zdarsky and it has art by Chris Anka. So, Chip Zdarsky, for anybody that's been paying attention, has been writing the new Daredevil run over there at Marvel, and he's really doing a great job with that. And he's quickly becoming one of my favorite writers right now, so I definitely wanted to read this when it came in today. So this is, it's set in, I would liken it to Game of Thrones, I guess. It's set in that kind of world where, you know, you have dragons and fantasy characters and, I guess not so much Game of Thrones, because in Game of Thrones you did have the dragons, but everybody else was just a human. There weren't really a lot of I take that back. You had the White Walkers, but
yeah.
You didn't have a bunch of other, like, elves and dwarves and all that kind of stuff running around. So maybe it's more of a Lord of the Rings type of setting that this takes place in. Like I said, so you've got your three main characters in this. They're former soldiers in the King's Army, and they've all kind of retired and gone their separate ways. But you get the sense that when they were fighting in the army, they did a bunch of things that a lot of people weren't too happy with. Maybe they weren't very good guys. And some of the enemies are trying to get back at them by they've kidnapped their children. And so it starts off with the king calling them in to let them know that, you know, their children have been kidnapped by the enemy. And, you know, of course, like always happens, they've got to go and try to rescue their kids. So it's not necessarily the most original setting, but this book was really pretty interesting. I did like it. I am going to say that it is rated mature, and it warrants that. Like, this book is very adult. If you got a chance to look at it and read it. It didn't start out that way, but you get to this scene in the middle and you're like, okay, this is very, very graphic. and a little X-rated. So,
all right.
So I just want to put that out there, because if that's not your thing, you might want to stay away from this. Chip Zdarsky also writes Sex Criminals for Image, so he's not a stranger to adult-themed material. But like I said, I did like this book. I felt like that part of the book took me out of it a little bit, and I'm not a prude in any sense of the word. Like, that stuff doesn't usually bother me, but I didn't see where it was relevant to the story at all. It just seemed to be there just for gratification,
yeah.
You know, more than anything. But it didn't kind of, I guess it didn't take me out of it altogether, because I still liked it. Obviously, it's only two issues, so I'm definitely going to read issue two.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's no reason not to. But I am interested in seeing where this goes. Like I said, it seemed like this is a story in a setting that they're gonna revisit more than just in these two issues. So I actually do recommend it. I think it was a pretty good start for this. Like I said, I just think that with only two issues, it's going to wrap up super quickly. And I don't know what we're going to get at the end of the second issue, if we're actually going to get a resolution to the story, or
really?
If it's going to leave us hanging for somewhere else. Because you get the sense that they're going to go on this long adventure to rescue their kids, but
right.
you only got two issues. So, and this one ends, you're already halfway done. And,
yeah.
you know, they haven't found their kids yet. So I don't know how quickly this is going to wrap up, and that's why I think really that this is going to be something that's going to go on.
Lead to something
else. Yeah, it's going to lead to something else. But definitely cool. Pick it up. White Trees, it was, like I said, it was an interesting read.
Cool. All right. Mine, the other one we have, the only other one we have this week other than one we both picked, Age of Conan Valeria.
Yeah.
Marvel number one. Mm-hmm. And writer Meredith Finch, artist Aniki. Is that right? Do you know that name?
Don't know it.
Okay. A-N-E-K-E. Oh, thank you. So do you know anything about this book? Because you're a Conan fan, so I was
wondering.
Well,
I know that it came out. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but I definitely am going to because I read all the Conan stuff. Even though this is just set in the world of Conan. Conan won't appear in this book at all.
Right.
Because I read the Age of Conan Belit 5-issue
okay.
miniseries. And again, it was about Belit. Like, she
yeah.
didn't, Conan didn't appear at all, even though she is a character that has interacted with Conan. So I imagine that the Valeria is the same thing. She's
yeah.
probably a character that Conan has interacted with, but I don't expect him to appear
well,
in
this,
the book at all.
This is a story, it seems to be, the backstory on it is it's like she's from the Red Nails storyline for Conan, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know Conan like you do.
Well,
I'm
I don't know
going...
that much that I remember that storyline.
Okay.
Like, I don't know her as a character, so I don't...
But this
I'm
is her
sure.
early life before she right. meets Conan.
Which is what Belit was also.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it's a pretty good story. It's one of five. I am going to continue with it. It's basically, this first book is just basically your origin story of, you know, she's literally born in the first page. You can't get much more origin than that.
Right, that's the origin.
but then, you know, the typical parents are killed and she develops into this warrior and she's honing her skills and the story goes from there and they leave you with a pretty decent cliffhanger at the end. I wouldn't say that this is like a run out and buy it super story, but if you're a Conan fan, it has all of that feel. The art is very, it's good. I wouldn't say it's fantastic,
okay.
But it's kind of that drab look like a Conan book would have.
Right.
But I thought it was an interesting story. One of five, so I will continue with it. I want to see where that cliffhanger at the end takes me.
Right.
I wouldn't say it's a huge need to get. I wouldn't rate it as high as probably like what you said with White Trees.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it, and it was a quick read, and I'm going to continue with it.
Okay.
So, all right, let's get into the book we both read, Once and Future number one of six,
yep.
Boom Studios, which you said was, you know, huge push.
Yes.
Friendly Neighborhood cool. had a crap load
I
of them, too.
Probably had a bunch of them, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, Boom Studio, you know, again, if you've listened to us at all, I love Boom Studios. I mean, I think they put out some good books, but as a publisher, they are so willing to work with the retailers.
Yeah, they're like retailer friendly.
They are very retailer friendly, as opposed to, you know, the M word, who is not. But that's not what this is about. So
nope.
Once in Future, Boom Studios is written by Karen Gillan, and it has art by Dan Mora.
I really like the art.
Yeah, the art was really good. I guess I'll let you talk about it first because I've already gone on about it a little bit.
Yeah.
I really did like this book a lot. I I posted it on my Facebook page a month ago when I got a chance to read the advanced copy of it, talking about how much I liked it. And then I posted it. So let's see what you thought of it first. And then,
so again, how many times have I said this? This isn't a story that's typically up my alley.
Right.
But I really, really enjoyed it. The artwork is simplistic, but very good.
Yeah.
Almost a comic strip feel to the art, but very colorful and details where it needed to be. But right. There was also some very simple panels that, you know, it kept you moving through the story. I don't know if there was a dull page, whether it be the story or the artwork. And the overall story, I think, is, well, it's got an interesting take on the King Arthur.
Right. It's the Arthur legend.
I don't think I've ever heard. I don't think I've ever heard that part of the legend, though. That I don't want to ruin it. But right. Have you? Maybe I'm wrong. Have you ever heard? You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. And I don't know how much Arthur's going to take, really be a part of this. It's just, you know, you hear about Excalibur a lot, right? Like, everybody knows Excalibur is Arthur's sword. Well, this story deals with the scabbard, which you don't ever really hear about. Like, nobody ever talks about the scabbard.
Yeah, don't give anything away about it.
No, I'm not. But exactly. I'm just saying this, you don't really hear anything about Arthur or Excalibur, really, until close to the end of the book. So when you're reading it, you don't really, like, you don't know that this is about King Arthur or Excalibur or any of that stuff. You just know that this scabbard is an artifact that has been found and people are after.
So along the lines of that little spoiler, and it's not giving anything away, but I love the title of the book.
Yes.
Once in Future. And it's like, by the time you get to the end of the book, you'll understand the significance of the title.
Right. And I guess, you know, again, a lot of people have heard the Once in Future King. So I guess if I had thought about it ahead of time, just knowing the title, I probably should have figured out that it had something to do with Arthur, you know.
Right.
But I didn't necessarily until
But that's it was, the play on the words, though.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you have that, but then the book is about something else.
Right.
And it's like I don't know.
But again, without trying to give up too much or trying to give too much away, you know, this is it's a supernatural tale. You know, there's going to be all kinds of, you know, the grandmother talked about hunting vampires and different things in her past. So there's more to this than just, like, this is a supernatural type story.
Yes.
This is not just focusing on, you know, King Arthur or the scabbard or the sword or anything. Like, we don't know where this book is going to go from issue one to issue six, but
think almost like everything that we just said about the King Arthur and the scabbard and we're giving away a little bit of the end there. It's not really that's not the story, but if you're listening to us now and you're driven to pick the book up, when you open it, you'll be like, what the heck were they talking about?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because the beginning is like has nothing to do with that. It is very much the sorcery and magic and
That's what I'm saying. There's more to this world than just, like I said, I don't know what we're gonna see.
But it's set in present day.
It's set in present day, but like we may see vampires, we may not. We may see other types of monsters or creatures show up in this. We don't really know what kind of fantasy world we're living in how well known it is to people. You know, to the general public.
Grandma's got quite the collection of hardware. Right.
Yeah, Grandma is set up, though. I love that scene, you know, not to spoil, this doesn't really spoil anything, but, you know, it kind of opens, you meet Grandma in the old, you know, the old age home or whatever, and they're watching a news story.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the residents says, okay, the news is over, let's put on the cooking show. And she says, you could do that. But broken fingers take a long time to heal at our age. And I was like, well, that was pretty
great.
Funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. Overall, I really enjoyed it.
I was very surprised.
Yeah. That you liked it?
Yeah. I was very surprised at how good it was.
Yeah. Well, again, Kieran Gillen, he's a good writer. He's got he's done a lot of stuff, and he's pretty well known. So, I mean, I knew it was going to be a good story. And I didn't want to just hype it. Obviously, I ordered a bunch of copies, and I want to sell a bunch of copies of this. But I didn't want to just hype it for that fact alone. I actually did really like the story.
If I hadn't read the,
I knew that it was returnable from Boom right from the very first time it was solicited. But I didn't decide to order as many copies as I did until I actually read it. Because once I read it, I knew that I was going to be able to sell a bunch of copies. And this was before it was selling for a bunch of money on eBay and all that stuff. I just knew when I read it that I wouldn't have any problem stacking them on my counter and recommending them to everybody that came in. And that's what really made me order all the copies. Being able to return them obviously is nice, but I thought that I could actually sell a bunch of these.
Yeah.
And
Good. It's definitely good.
It's going to be good. So, if you're listening to this and if you've been into your comic book store at all today, somebody probably showed you this book and tried to sell it to you anyway.
It looks great, too. The cover's awesome.
Right. The cover's great. The art's great. But if you haven't been in yet, I would definitely pick this book up and read it. It's really good.
Yeah. So.
And also, nothing's been announced yet, but in this day and age of streaming services looking for IP all the
time.
This
is a story and a half.
This is definitely something that I could see get picked up somewhere. So I'm not saying it has been because I don't know, but
listen to next week in our Speculator
Corner. But I wouldn't be
corner.
Surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
That'd be funny.
So, yeah.
So, all right. Powers of 10 this week.
Powers of 10, yes. Issue
did
two.
You read it? Did you get
did.
To read it? I know you
I
were
did.
Behind today.
Yes, but I did get to read it.
Nice. Not as complicated a read.
No,
as
but I feel
Powers
like
Powers 1.
I feel like this is the same way as I felt after reading Powers 1.
Yes.
House got me on a big high, Powers brought me back down. Last week House brought me way back up again. This week Powers brought me back down a little bit again.
So did it bring you down because of the story and the complications, or are you not like I actually really enjoyed this story. Where I got down a little bit towards the end. No, we'll go spoiler free here because I know a bunch of listeners haven't maybe read it yet. But towards the end, you get a bunch of white pages, and that did kind of bring me down. And it was like, oh, I was feeling so good because it was very, very story heavy at the beginning.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not super interested yet in the 100-year and 1,000-year timeline. Like, I don't want to live there. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be in the 10-year.
You want the story, right?
Right. I want the story. So
I can see
I
that.
I feel like it's just. It's been kind of, and again, not to say that this is bad in any way, because this was a good book. You know, it's definitely a great read. It's definitely worth it. But I feel like we're on a little bit of a roller coaster. Where I'm a little concerned is we stay on the low a little bit, because next week we go to Powers of
again.
10 number 3. So
right.
So we're going to spend more time in the 100-year and 1,000-year timeline. I'm hoping that by the end of all this, I care a lot more about that. But right now, I just don't. And that's where I'm not as engaged with that.
I think it's building.
The problem. Yeah.
I think that's building because I think after books 1 and 2, there was so much information. It was so confusing. I think things are starting to become more clear.
Yes. Again, this wasn't harder. It wasn't as hard to read.
Right.
Although, the stuff at the end with the intelligence quotients or whatever.
Oh, geez.
That was a little bit of a slog to get
I thought
through.
I was back in, like, high school, and I was like, oh, no.
I'm like, wait a
Is
minute.
Is this going to be on the SATs?
Am I a phalanx, or what am I? Like, I don't know what I am anymore. But, so that part of it was a little, like I said, I loved the beginning of the book. I really enjoyed the year 1 to year 10 stuff. All the stuff with Magneto and Charles, I really liked a lot.
Yep.
But once we moved away from that, I found myself not as engaged. Like, it just doesn't keep me as engaged in the story.
Yeah.
I'm really more interested, obviously, in the current timelines, which is what we're supposed to be, because those are the characters we know and we're familiar with. But I don't know. It loses me a little bit when we get to those future those future time. Even the year 100 is much more interesting. The year 1000, I don't have any interest in that at all.
And that's why
they've
I'm wondering
do something if that's got to have some relevance. I'm obviously
right.
It will, but
it will. I think he's building a. I think he's building a world slash universe here.
Right.
That, like I said on Twitter, this is so multi-layered and it's so deep that I really think they're just recreating the entire X-Men world, and he's giving us everything. You're seeing beginning to end, and then, like, after last week's book with all those timelines,
yeah.
Now you're going to be like, okay, which one are we in here? And I'm really enjoying it, especially where it's just one a week, and you can get into it pretty deep.
Yeah, well, and like I said, I think anything after last week's high was going to feel like a little bit of a letdown anyway, because last week's book was really a great book. Like, not even necessarily as part of this story, but just as a comic in general, it was just a great comic book.
But that was also a story. It was
right.
A single issue
That's what
story
I'm saying. You
that
could,
you were like, ha, ah,
you could
relax
that out
and
of,
enjoy the story.
Right, you could have pulled that out of this miniseries and just... You could read that on its own, I think,
right.
And it's still a good story.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, you know, people were so hyped on it. So, like I said, this one almost was going to be a little bit of a letdown no matter what. But I still think overall, like, this series is awesome. So,
yeah,
it can't be said enough that you need to read all of these books. Out of the 12, there's bound to be some that are going to be better than others anyway. So,
oh, yeah.
They can't all be, you know, they can't all be on the same high. But like I said, I will say, like, this one, it did drag me down just a little bit on it. So not as bad as, like, because you said after Powers of 10 number 1 that if that had been the first issue, you might not have even stuck with the series. So I don't think this felt like that.
No, no.
But it just didn't have that same, like I said, we were kind of riding on such a high after the last one that
yeah,
I was really looking forward to this one, and it was kind of a little
Can
bit
you believe
of a,
we're a month into this book, these books?
I know.
That's the fourth book. It's flying.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm going to touch on a few books here that I've read.
Okay.
How are you doing on Deceased?
I'm caught up on Deceased.
So you read 4?
I did.
You read the ending to that one? No spoilers, but...
Oh, yeah.
That was insane.
It was.
I mean,
crazy.
What's 5?
Well, I don't know where. Yeah, I don't know where we go from there. Honestly,
it's
the ending of that book was pretty wild.
I thought the middle was pretty wild.
It was,
and then you get into. I think this entire story is just a lot of fun to read.
It is, and knowing that none of it's canon, really, none of it's in the
right.
in the main timeline makes it great. Because in some ways, it's. Some of that stuff you'd want to see. Like, I really liked the moment with Alfred and Damian and...
The briefcase.
Yeah, the briefcase and
that
all that.
That was pretty cool. That was in, what,
great.
3?
No, that I was in 4. No, that was in 4.
Was that 4?
Yeah, it was, for sure.
Okay.
Because after I read your tweet about how much you wanted to talk to me about it, I read it again. Because I was like, I don't remember what happened. Let me read it again. But, you know, that was great, but... Knowing that it's not in the main continuity, it's not really going to go anywhere.
But that's why you can have fun with it.
But right,
and just enjoy
obviously
it.
You can do things like that, like how like you're not usually going to see Black Canary as a Green Lantern. So
no,
so there's some cool stuff happening in this series. I really like it.
Know,
I look forward to seeing how you know where the last couple of issues.
I like
go.
How Superman's getting around, like how he explained how he can't be turned.
Right.
That was pretty. It's pretty cool, and even how his explanation of it, like the nanosecond,
right.
is the quote, and it's like just thinking on that level.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
I mean, this book's 3 weeks old, so I mean, we can. You don't have to necessarily.
4 is.
Yeah, you don't have to
is
hide
really?
Everything. Yeah, I think it came up 3 weeks ago. So
oh,
I mean,
well.
Spoilers. We, you know, we could say what he did.
Yeah. All right. Daredevil 9, how are you doing on that? Did you read that one yet?
I read it. Yes, I did.
Okay. That one, that story, still... It doesn't have the
high
that it had earlier.
It doesn't because...
That was a high.
It was, you know, right. But I only want to see him not being Daredevil for so long. You know, like, I can see this getting to a point where it's going to start, not necessarily that I'm going to turn against it, but, you know, you almost want, you don't want to see it go on forever. It's kind of like, you know, I was talking about Nightwing a while ago and how I was really enjoying that story where, you know, after he got shot, he's, you know, he doesn't remember Nightwing and all that stuff. But now that I'm like 10 issues into that, like, I'm done with that now. Like, I want that over with, and I want him to be back to being Nightwing again, you know? So I can see that this may get there at some point if he continues to drag this out for too long. But that being said, I thought this was a good issue. Like, I still liked it.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I still kind of like where it's going, but, I am getting a little antsy with it, so.
Yeah. All right, I got two more books I wanted to talk about. One is, I'm really excited. I wanted to get your take on if you've read it, if you're caught up on Event Leviathan. Did you read today? I think that was today's, right?
I haven't read today's, no.
Okay.
I read the first two, but I didn't get to that one today.
I'm enjoying that story.
And I do like it, yes.
That's a tough story to be reading at the same time as Deceased. I'm getting those two things mixed up.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, wait a minute, that's different. Different bad guys. I really like what they're doing with Red Hood in there.
Yes.
And if you obviously you haven't read three yet, you know the end of two. They pick up right there, and it is really good. It slows down a bit, but after the events in two, I think you needed you get a little bit of an explanation more to the story in this in three. I have a feeling that four is going to really pick up. But that one, I'm really enjoying that Event Leviathan.
Okay.
And the last one is Dr. Joe let me borrow his Chew books. Have you read Chew?
No.
Okay.
I have not.
I read the first one. And I grabbed him from him last week. He let me buy. I took like three of them. He has the whole set. I took three of them. I almost finished all three. I said I was going to read the first one before tonight, and I blasted through the thing. It's an awesome story. Do you know anything about it?
No, I know. It's Rob Guillory does that. I'm reading Farmhand right now, which he does. So I know his style a little bit.
Okay,
but I don't know that book. Although, like I said, I've had a lot of people recommend it to me.
Artwork reminds me of Goon. Did he do that?
No.
Okay.
No, that's Eric Powell.
But
I can see the similarities, though.
Okay. So, the story is, basically, if you don't know anything about it, I'll just give you a quick backstory, you and the listeners. I know Dr. Joe does now, so he can turn the radio off. It's the guy can... He eats something, and he gets its psychic powers from that. Right. So, and it's in page one. Like, he eats a piece of fruit. He knows what pesticides were put on the trees. He knows what happened to the tree. He knows when the fruit was picked. And if he eats, like, a piece of meat.
My mind just went, like, super dirty.
Well, but it happens. And it's like, if he eats a piece of meat, he knows when the animal was killed. He knows all the feelings of the animal. He knows. So, and he's a detective.
Right.
So you can see where the story's going to go.
Right. It was kind of like, I don't know if you watched iZombie at all.
No.
But it's similar to that where she eats the
brains. I did hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So regardless of everything I just told you, the story is really good.
Yeah.
It's a take on that. It's got some twists and turns. Very entertaining. Like Dr. Joe said, there's a lot of stuff in the background. There's little words and stuff to pay attention to. It's just funny little things that go on in the backgrounds. It's a very, if you haven't seen or read Chew, definitely at least grab the first issue. And I'm telling you, I can't wait to read two. I was going to try to read them. I just haven't had time. But they don't take long to read at all. It's really, really good book. So,
yeah. Well, I guess to kind of piggyback onto that, because I mentioned last week that I was reading, I'd started The Walking Dead, and I was I had read like issues up to issue 20. The last time we talked, I read 72 last night.
Wow.
So I'm moving right along on this story. Man, it is really good. I have to
say. Did you get a chance to grab the boys?
No, because I read 52 more issues of The Walking Dead. But what I wanted to say about it is, and I kind of knew this, but the first six issues were written by Robert Kirkman and drawn by Terry Moore. But starting with issue seven, Charlie Adlard came on as the artist, and he drew it from issue six to issue 193. Like, he never left the book. So basically after issue six, I mean, Robert Kirkman wrote every issue, and this guy drew almost every issue. And I think to me, so far, even 70 issues, the consistency of the storytelling, having the same artist and the same writer, you never hear – that's unheard of in any series. I can't think of any other series where a team has worked together for that many issues. Even Todd McFarlane didn't draw 193 issues of Spawn, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, I think just – there's something about the look and the feel of that book. It never changes. And I really – like, that really grabs me because –
Well, and that's why when it ended, he was the one that ended it, right? He just walked away.
Well, Kirkman
like,
ended
nobody
it.
Else is
going
to do it.
Right. He ended it. But I just think – and now, again, I've still got 120 issues to read. Maybe there was a guest artist in there somewhere. Like, I don't know for a fact yet.
Right.
But I know he was the artist on issue 193, and he started on issue 7. He may have taken a break for an issue or two somewhere in the middle.
Went on vacation.
But for the most part, this is the same – like I said – in addition to the story being really good, I don't know, like I said, there's just something about the fact that it just never seems to be – the consistency is there. Like, there's never going to be that – I read lots of series where I drop out after a while because the art goes bad or, things change. And just knowing that even for the next 120 more issues that I read, nothing's going to change. Like, it's going to be the same.
Wow.
They might not all be great, but – the consistency is there, and there's something to be said for that. And I didn't realize what a kind of impressive thing that was until I got into it and started reading it. And I was like, you know, you just never hear of that, like these people sticking together for that long. Because at a certain point, like, Kirkman's probably just having to send, like, one-word sentences about how he wants the page to look.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're on – like, they're reading each other's minds as they're going along, you know?
Yeah.
It had to get so easy after a while to just be on the same page with each other that you always knew what you were going to get. You could ask for anything, and the art was going to be always what you wanted. So, I don't know. Like I said, very late to the party, obviously. I'm reading these books, and I'm seeing the ads, and it's like, the best book of 2004. And I'm like, holy crap, this was, like, a long time ago. But but like I said, I'm really, really digging it to the point where I can't wait to get through all of this week's books just so I can get back to The Walking Dead.
That's cool.
Because I'm really liking it a lot. So Chew might be on my list somewhere after The Boys and after this.
The Boys.
The problem is I want to go right from this to Invincible, which was also written by Kirkman, but it's also like 150 issues. So. Jeez. I don't know. I don't think I'd be able to plow through them as quick. The thing with The Walking Dead is they're easy reads. There's so many pages where it's just axes chopping up zombies that, you know, you can read an issue relatively quickly. I don't know if Invincible will be the same.
Right.
You know. So, anyway, that's what I've been reading this week on top of everything else.
Cool. All right. Well, we're breaking these shows up so they're shorter, and here we are at an hour and 45 minutes. So
are we really?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, no way.
We're almost like an hour and a half, something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
No, but hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. That it for the week?
I think so.
So I'm going to let you go so you can go back to The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Anything... keep the conversation going on Twitter at brightside_chat. Email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher. I don't know. And we are on Facebook, but it's tough to carry on a conversation there. So we're just putting stuff out there. But Well, John, we got our page for John's got the arc. You did you put stuff up today?
I did. I put an FOC post up today.
Okay, cool.
All the books
so, yeah,
that we
you
talked
can
about have
go
pictures.
There. Go to Facebook for all the FOC stuff that we talk about in the podcast. That's pretty much what we use that for. And I'm also on what's the picture one I do?
Instagram.
Instagram.
Instaface.
Instaface. Yeah, it's pretty predominantly Twitter. I think we're just going to lean towards that one because it's pretty much where the conversation is. So
yeah.
All right. That'll do it for this week. On Monday, we have... What's the second Harry Potter movie?
Chamber of Secrets.
That one.
Yes, that one.
Doing that one.
Should be a good one.
Yeah,
we don't even know what it's called.
I don't remember. You've become the pothead.
I'm a pothead, but
yeah, I'm just going along for the ride here. Yeah, you'll get my thoughts on that on Monday.
Okay, I can't wait.
So yeah, check out Monday. We got
we're getting into Harry Potter on Monday.
I don't even know what our issue numbers are anymore. What are we 45 this week? Oh, coming up on Monday. I don't know. We're up there. Look at us go. All right. That's it. Time to go.
Yep. Bye.
Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.